You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Go Celtics.
I'm glad to be here. I'm excited. I know the Lord's going to do something amazing. How many of you were here last night? How many people experienced just the power and the presence and the anointing of God that was in the room? Man, it was amazing. And I believe what God started, He's faithful to complete. And it's going to be just an amazing time. Thank you guys for having me, hosting me, for your hospitality. You guys have been amazing, and I'm very, very grateful. I also brought my wife and one of my sons. I have three sons. I couldn't bring all of them with me, but we brought the baby with us, Josiah, and my wife, Christline. So she's here. Babe, stand up so that they can see you. Oh, you. Yeah, this is Josiah, our eight-month-old. We have two other ones. The oldest is 11 and the middle is 5, so we're grateful for our amazing tribe, our amazing family. Are y'all ready for the word? Can you just lift up your hands? Every person in this place, lift up your hands. Father, we receive what you're going to speak to us in this house, how you're going to move and how you're going to manifest your presence. Lord, we believe that there's breakthrough and healing and restoration in the house. Lord, let your presence flow like never before. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. All right, I'm gonna need you to help me out, because the crowd yesterday, they were on fire. They were ready. So don't give me that Sunday morning half praise. I don't wanna act cute. No, we're gonna go after it hard. We're going to seek God with an intensity today. All right, let's open up to John chapter 11. Let's go. John chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple of passages for you. And the first passage I'm going to read is John 11, 4, then John 11, 40. Then I'm going to read John 11, and I'm going to start from verses 38 to the end. So we got a little bit of reading, but I won't read the whole entire text because it'll take us like a month. So first I'm going to read John chapter 11 verse 4, then John chapter 11 verse 40, then I'll go back and read John chapter 11 verse 38, and then we're going to read a few verses there. All right, let's go. John chapter 11 verse 4. Here's what it says. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, can I just get a little bit louder on the monitors, it's hard to hear myself, just a little bit louder. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, John 11, verse 40, here's what it says. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now we're going to do John 11, verse 38, and we're going to go up to verse 44. Here's what it says. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Lazarus! He wasn't quiet. With a loud voice. Oh, he's just too loud. I'm trying to be like Jesus. He's just too loud. He's too loud for me. I like when people are quiet. No, I'm trying to be like Jesus. The Bible says with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus! Come forth! And he who had died came bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. May God bless the reading of his word. The title of my sermon today is, There is Glory to My Story. I'm going to say it again, because I'm going to need a little bit. There is glory to my story. Can I tell you that each and every one of you have a story? You have a story, and some of your story does not have aspects of it that are appealing, that you're proud of. You have parts of your story that you feel like, if you could change it, you would change it. If you could go back in time, you would fix that part of your story. Some of you have parts of your story where you went through brokenness, or you went through divorce, or you went through pain, or you went through agony, or you went through situations that were challenging, situations that were hard. You went through the vicissitudes of life. You went through circumstances that were just way too much for you. I know that each and every one of you have a story. We all have a story. And some of you, your story has not yet had redemption to it. You see, there's a story that you can have, but when you don't have God in your story's limited. But when Jesus comes into your story, he comes and he changes the whole entire dynamic of your story. So your story could have been a story of pain and agony and bitterness and hurt and unforgiveness. But when Jesus comes into your story, he brings life, he brings healing, he brings restoration, he brings power. I just need about three people who know. Jesus is the one who's changing my story today. And my story's going from one of pain to one of redemption, from one of pain to one of healing, from one of pain to one of God's supernatural power at work in my life. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, change my story. I'm so glad that God can change stories. He could take a story that was leading down a path of death and take your story and make it have life. I'm so glad that God changed my story. My story was one of chaos and confusion. My life was a story where I needed weed in order to survive. Some of you, you can't say amen because that's still your story. It's hard to say amen when it's still your story. Some of you need weed in order to do your day. Let me tell you something. There's something greater than weed. There's something greater than alcohol. It's the presence of Jesus. And once you get an encounter with the presence of Jesus, all that stuff doesn't matter. You know why I don't drink alcohol? Not because it's a sin. I don't drink alcohol because I don't need it. The reason most people drink alcohol is to take the edge off of them. I don't need the edge to be taken off me. I have the Holy Spirit that takes the edge off me. And I'm not knocking people because it's not a sin. It's not a sin to drink. It's not a sin. Alcohol is not a sin. Can I say that again? Biblically, it's not a sin. But I don't personally do it because I got the Holy Ghost. Because no one drinks alcohol because it tastes good. It's disgusting. Stop lying. Oh, yeah, I'm drinking this because it's good. No, you're drinking it because it gives you a feeling that the Holy Spirit's supposed to give you. That's why the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what is the replacement for drunkenness and for drinking? It's being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled so to the brim with the Holy Spirit that nothing else in my life has any room but him. All right, so I see y'all are with me now. They were testing me out. I could tell they were testing the waters. Who's this black, this short black man right here? There is glory that God wants to put on your story. And that brings us to John chapter 11. Because each and every one of you have a story, but God wants to put glory on your story. He wants to put his presence on your story. You see, his friend Lazarus, this was actually Jesus' friend. Like, my homeboy. Like, like that's my boy. The Bible says every time he would go through Bethany, the place where Lazarus lived, he would stop by Lazarus' house and he would hang out with Lazarus and Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha. These were his
This is my road dog. This is my friend. So it was interesting that when he heard Lazarus was sick, the Bible says he waited 2 days in order to go see him. Hold on, but I thought you were my boy. I thought Jesus was my homie, but you don't come when I need you to come? Can I tell you something? Your timetable is not God's timetable. And sometimes it may seem like God is late. He's never late. He's an on-time God. And some of you are, you have this expectation of God to move when you want him to move, and he's sovereign. He goes, I'm going to move when I want to move. Because guess what? He could have brought healing to the story, but that was not the story. He wanted to bring glory to the story. It's pretty easy to bring healing to the story. He could have came, laid hands on Lazarus. Lazarus would have came forth. And guess what? The people wouldn't even been impressed. Maybe it was the medicine. Maybe it was the doctors. Maybe it was the treatments. Maybe it was all that other stuff that got Lazarus out of this situation. But you know what? God had to wait until dire straits, until Lazarus was dead, in order to prove to the people, I'm God. I want to bring glory on your okay, so we got to know what the word glory means. There's two words for glory. These words are the two words that's used the most, because there's a bunch of words biblically for glory. But the first word that's used is a Hebrew word that we've heard a million times, especially if you're in the charismatic movement, kabod. The kabod. Kabod means a weight. It means a heaviness. It means a weight. So glory literally means God putting his He's sitting on your situation. I'm going to put my whole entire weight on this. Oh, you have to think about how heavy that is. For God to look at your situation and go, I'm going to put my weight on this. But then there's a second word that's used in the Greek primarily for the word glory, and it's the word doxa. And this word doxa is a little bit different than the word kabod, even though it's very similar. It means reputation. Or an opinion about something. So that word glory is saying, my reputation is going to be put on the line for this. My opinion about this matter is going to be seen. So when God releases his glory, he's releasing his opinion on the matter. He's showing you how he feels about this situation. So when I'm telling you there's glory coming on your story may be in chaos right now, but God is getting ready to flex his muscles. He's getting ready to flex on your situation and show himself strong. Let me put my weight on this. Let me put my heaviness on this. Let me put my reputation on this. Let me put my opinion on this. Let me show you how I feel. And so he has to show them how he feels about death. I want to show you my opinion about death. I hate death. Not only do I hate death, I am the resurrection. So I'm literally the antithesis of death. I'm the opposite of death. What death is looks nothing like me, because death cannot stand where I am, because I am the resurrection and the life. That's why when I went down in the grave, 3 days later, I rose, because death doesn't have power over me. So he wants to show you how he feels about dead things coming alive. Some of you right now, your story has death, but the resurrection and the life is in the room right now. Oh, I just need 3 people to say amen. Right now, your story is decaying and dying, but I've come to let you know the resurrection and the life is here to bring life to every dead dream, every dead vision, every dead idea, every dead thing on the inside of you. He's here to give you life and life more abundantly. If you believe it, shout amen. All right. So there's glory in your story. So Jesus decides, 2 days later, I'm going to step into the situation. He waits 2 days? God says, I make you wait so I can put my weight on it. Oh, let me say that again. I make you wait so I can put my weight on it. So the weight was only bringing his weight. Have you ever been delayed before? Have you ever felt like God, you didn't show up when I want you to? Don't worry, the weight is bringing the weight. Because a delayed promise is just a promise with interest. I'm going to say it again. Any delayed promise with God is a promise with interest. So if God ever delays you, it's because he's trying to give you more than you had before. There's a compounding interest on the delay. And so everything you've been waiting for and God promised you haven't seen manifest, I decree and declare, is coming with divine compounding interest in the realm of the spirit. The house is going to be even bigger. The marriage is going to be even better. The situation is going to be even greater. Why? Because there's interest on the promise of God. Yes. The Bible says his promises are yea and amen. Amen. That means I'm going to do it for sure. Yes and yes. All right, so look at this. I mean, this story is one of my favorites because Jesus steps in, waits 2 days, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus was already in the grave for 4 days. If you know anything about Jewish culture, the fourth day meant the soul left the body. That's what the Jewish people believe. His soul left his body. That means it was over. The first 3 days, it was cool because the soul's still in the body. But the fourth day, the soul's out of the body. So there's nothing you can do at that point. So when he comes in and Martha hears that he's coming, Martha doesn't even wait for him to get into Bethany. He's out in the outskirts of Bethany and she runs to him. Why? Because Martha's the worker. You know, Martha's the worker. If you ever read in the scripture, you know, Jesus goes, Martha, Martha, why are you concerned about all these things? Mary's at his feet. Mary's worshiping. Mary's seeking. But Martha's always trying to work. So she's the first one to get to Jesus. She runs out. Let me get to Jesus first, because that's how workers do. Workers like to be the first one there, the last one leaving. She was a good worker, right? She's a great worker. So let me get to Jesus. Jesus, if you were just here, you could have worked. If you were here, you could have just did the miracle. If you were here, my brother wouldn't be dead. You know, she was seeking for a healing and Jesus was trying to give her a resurrection. How many times are you just looking for a healing and Jesus is trying to give you a resurrection? I'm just looking for a bit of showers and God's trying to give you torrential rains. I just want a little bit of blessing and God's trying to get, I want to do exceeding, abundant, above that of what you're able to ask or think. I don't want to just give you a little bit of blessing. I'm trying to overwhelm you with how big and how amazing and how grand and how awesome the favor and the blessing of God will be over your life. I'm not content just for the small. I believe my God is the God of overflow. I believe my God is the God of more than enough. I believe my God is a God of big blessings. I believe my God is a God who wants to do more than I could even imagine. You got to break out of that box that God wants you to have the worst of the worst. No, he wants you to have the best as a kingdom citizen. He wants you to have the best as a son and a daughter. He wants you to walk in abundant places. He wants your past overflowing with goodness. I'm not satisfied with just a little blessing here and there. Martha comes. If you were here, Jesus, he wouldn't be dead. And then Jesus says something to her. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. If you understood who I was, I am. I am. Anything that's dead, I can make it alive. And then I love Martha because she's so theological, right? She has correct theology, but she missed the moment. Yeah, right. You can have proper theology and still miss the moment in God. Because she had correct theology. She goes, yes, he will rise again. When we're all in heaven, yes, he will rise. And Jesus is like, you don't get it. I know your theology is correct. Yes, he's going to be in heaven one day. Yes, when everyone resurrects, yes, he's going to make it. You're not getting it, Martha. I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about the dirty here and now. I'm not talking about him being in heaven one day. I'm talking about bringing heaven down on earth. I'm not talking about this eventuality that I'm going to experience God in a powerful way. This eventuality, the streets paved with gold. The eventuality where there'll be no more tears. The eventuality where there'll be no more sickness. I'm talking about right here and now. God doing what he promised, what he spoke, and what he manifests now. I'm not waiting for heaven to get it. I'm bringing heaven down to earth. Oh, I know I'm excited about heaven. I'm excited that I'm going to make it into the kingdom. But what I'm more excited about is that I can take the reality of heaven and bring it down to earth. Somebody say amen. Why is he so loud? It's okay. Don't worry. Right? There's elders 24 hours a day crying, holy, holy, holy before the Lord. If you're afraid of sound, you're afraid of heaven. Jesus said with a loud voice. Jesus wasn't quiet. He was loud voice. All right. Can I get back to the text? So Martha has this whole theological conversation. Oh, yeah, one day it's going to happen. And Jesus is like, no, it's going to happen today. Today's the day. You don't get it. And so they finish their conversation, and Martha runs back and tells Mary. And you know what the Bible says Mary is doing? Well, she always does. She's sitting in the house. She's not worried about the situation. She's in the house. Martha's bothering her. The master's calling you. The master didn't even call her. She lied. Oh. Workers will do anything to make you work. Wow. They'll do anything. They'll bribe. They'll do anything to make you work. And so finally, yeah, let's go. And so Mary gets there, and Mary's like, man, if you were here, Jesus, same type of conversation. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus groaned within himself. Then I looked up that word groan in the Greek, and you know what that word groan means? He got angry. You know why Jesus got upset? Because he already said who he was. I am the resurrection and the life. How y'all still talking about death and I'm here?
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Wow, that's good.
You see, why is your conversation still about death and life is here? Yeah. Wow. You see, and here's the problem is that a lot of you, the way you talk doesn't match God's reality about you. You talk like you're poor, and the Bible already said he made you rich. You talk like you're a sinner, but you're no longer a sinner. You're made righteous. I never say the talk of I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. I was a sinner, now I'm righteous. I don't ever be like, I'm a sinner. I was a sinner. Yes, I was. I was disgusting. The worst of the worst. But you know what I am now? I'm a child of God. So I don't use old language to talk about who I am right now. I know before I was struggling and I was going through. That's not me anymore. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed where I start talking like who God called me to be, not my old life. I don't talk like who I used to be. You know, a lot of us, our whole conversation is about what the devil's doing, yes. About what Satan's doing. Oh man, the devil's frustrated me this week. You know what talking about the devil more than talking about God is like? It's like sitting down with your spouse and talking about your ex the whole time. Imagine sitting down with Jesus. You're the bride of Christ. And the whole time, yeah, you know, the devil is just the devil. And Jesus is like, hold what out of here. Why are you talking about him? He's your ex. Y'all broke up already. And he was abusive and treated you like trash and tried to destroy your life and tried to kill you. I'm the one who came and got you and pulled you out of that situation. And you're still talking about him? Yeah. The devil, he's rarely part of my conversation unless I have to rebuke him. Right? I don't let him be a part of my conversation. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, Satan. You have no power. Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, you're good. Let me sit at your feet and love on you. Let me tell you about how good you are. You are the king of the universe. I start telling him how good he is. All right. Let me get back to the text. So Mary comes and the Bible says he groans within himself. He's upset. I already said who I was. These people don't get it. He said, take me to the grave. You know what's interesting? The Bible says around Mary was professional mourners. You know one thing I realized in your life? Is that a lot of people like to come around when things are not good so they can feel better about their situation. There's people in your life, they're literally professional mourners. They only show up when things are bad. But once things are good, you never see them anymore. Because they love to see you in misery. Ooh, this is good. They love to see when you're hurting because it makes them feel better about their situation. Well, at least I'm not where you are. Ooh, third failed relationship? Well, I only got one. Third failed marriage? Man, I've been married for 5 years and it's going strong. So it makes them feel good about where they are. There's people, that's their only job, is to be around you so they could be like, well, I told you, you know. And then when Jesus comes on the scene and they see Jesus and the Bible says Jesus started weeping because of the situation, they were like, man, if he really loved him, he would have just healed him. God's not trying to bring healing to your situation. He's trying to bring glory. But if you're stuck on, you didn't do it this way, then God can't do it in the way that's going to really show off his presence and his power and his majesty and his grandeur and his sovereignty. God, give me the easy way out. Nope, I'm going to let you die so I can resurrect it. God, give me the easy way out. I'm going to make sure you go through pain so people can see that there's glory on your story. I'm going to allow the relationship to be public so everyone can see how I can heal a relationship that's broken. I'm going to allow the situation to be public for everyone to see. Then I'm going to allow, because guess what? Jesus could have came and did the healing. No one would have been around. The crowds wouldn't have been around. The people wouldn't have been around. The mourners wouldn't have been around. It would have just been Lazarus and his disciples that would have been around. That's it. But Jesus had to do a whole spectacle. He had to do a whole show. He had to put him on display. Let me bring everyone to the table. Yeah, I want everyone to see this. Look, 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 look. I'm not only going to heal the heart, I'm going to resurrect it. I'm not only going to heal the situation, I'm going to resurrect. Come, everyone, come see my goodness. I want to show you my glory. It's glory to your story. See, stop being content with just enough. When you serve the God of more than enough. Stop being content with, I'll just take the healing in private. When God wants to give you the resurrection in public. I want to show my grandeur so that everyone could see my goodness in your life. All right, so let's get back to the text. Because I'm almost, how much time I got? 15 minutes? Don't say take your time and I don't get invited back. Church members talk about take your time and then the pastor probably like, you can't come back. I'm sorry. You took way too long. I love how church members, take your time. Kick your feet up. It's cool. You get me in trouble. You're the type of guy to get me in trouble. I don't have kids. That's what it is. Oh, you don't have kids. That's what it is. Yeah. And so Jesus is like, take me to the tomb right now. Take me to the place. And so he goes to the tomb and he's like, roll away the stone. Martha, you know Martha. She got the perfect responses to everything. And she's right, but she's wrong at the same time. You know, that shows me a lesson that you could be right and wrong at the same time. Sometimes your opinions of situations are right. Sometimes your analysis is right, but your spirit is wrong. Yeah. I know a lot of people, they're right. Like, they're so smart and they're so intellectual. They got the right response for everything. But their spirit is off and they're wrong. But if we roll away the stone, if we roll, it's okay. I like noise. I like loud. I know some of y'all, shh, we're in church. It's sacred. Man, I was Catholic at one time. I'm not Catholic anymore. So I like loud in church. Now it's Catholic. Shh, you know, everything's like quiet and oh. No, I'm in Pentecostal. I like loud. Jesus, roll away the stone. It's going to smell, Jesus. It's been there for a long time. You see, some of y'all, your death situation been there for a long time. It's been there for so long, you don't even want to roll away the stone because you think it's going to smell. For some of you, your situation's been there for so long. No, no, no. Let's just keep it hidden. Let's not talk about it. Let's just gloss over that moment. No, no, no. That's a part of your story God's trying to open up. That's a part of your story where God's trying to, I want to see what's in there. Oh, there's death? Perfect. Oh, there's brokenness? Perfect. Oh, now I'm here. Oh, good. Oh, everything's messed up here? Oh, good. This is the perfect spot for me to come in. Oh, no, but God, let me keep that quiet. I don't want to talk about my same-sex attraction. Let me keep that closed. I don't want to talk about the pain that I went through when I was a child. I don't want to talk about the abuse. I don't want to talk about the fears. Let's just keep that area closed off. I don't want to talk about it. Shh, God, no, no, no. Let's not deal with it, God. No, 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 no. Let's keep that part hidden. I don't want people to get involved in that part of my story. But you know, the only way the resurrection can happen is if you let God open up that part of your life. Because guess what? God can never heal what's not revealed. God can never heal what you don't reveal. Everything you keep hidden is literally an open door for the enemy to keep plaguing at it and plaguing at it and plaguing at it. Once you say, Holy Spirit, I'm opening up this area of my life, you give him the balm of Gilead, the one who heals the broken places and the wounds, an opportunity to come in and heal the broken places of your life. This is the moment right now where the Holy Spirit is cracking open the door of pain, cracking open the door of abuse, cracking open the door of bitterness, cracking open the door of sexual sin. He's cracking open the door and he's saying, let me come in with my resurrection power, because I am the resurrection and the life. And even though this thing has no life to it anymore, I can breathe my life into every dead situation. If you believe it, give God a shout of praise in this place. Woo! So they move away the stone, and Jesus speaks. The Bible says, with a loud voice, goes, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says something very interesting. Come, I'm gonna need your help. It says, Lazarus comes out of the tomb. But here's how he comes out. He comes out with grave clothes. And the Bible says he comes bound hand and foot. Come on, bind my hands. No, it got to be tighter than that. Yep. Okay, that's too tight. Too. My God, I can't. Right. Okay, that's an. Okay, you're too good at this. Right. Is there something about your story that we don't know? Hand and foot. Oh. All right, that's good. Trying to cut off circulation. He took his job. The Bible says he came out bound hand and foot. And it said he had a cloth wrapped around his face. Thank you. And that's when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. You can sit down. I'm going to have you come up later. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me, saying, most of the church has been content with coming out the grave, but a lot of us have not gotten the grave clothes off of us. And it's not enough to just come out of the grave and not get the grave clothes off. See, a lot of you, you've come out of the grave. Jesus called, yeah, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I got baptized. I'm so glad. And God's saying, I'm trying to get the grave clothes off of you. I'm trying to get the grave clothes of your past off of you. I'm trying to get the grave clothes off of your sin off of you. I'm trying to get the grave clothes off the chakras and the energies off of you.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
I'm trying to get the grave clothes of who you used to be. Because it's not enough to just come out of the grave and still have grave clothes on.
Come on.
I prayed the prayer. I did the prayer. Mm-hmm. I accepted him. Yeah. But you still got grave clothes.
Yeah.
And today's the day the Holy Spirit wants you to take the grave clothes off.
Yes.
Today is the day the Holy Spirit says, it's not just enough say, I accept you into my life. I need you to get the grave clothes off.
Yes. Yes.
And some of you, you're like, it's hard for you to worship. You want to know why? It's hard to worship when you're wrapped up.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can't lift up my hands. I can tell you why. You're still wrapped up.
Yeah.
I can't. Why is he so loud? Why can't I shout? Why can't I praise like everyone else?
Oh,
God. Okay, everyone's jumping and dancing. Why can't I dance?
Yeah.
It's not because you're an introvert. There's no introvert and extrovert in the kingdom. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I know in your personal life, but in your worship life, there's no introvert or extrovert.
Yeah.
Everyone should be praising God loud. Everyone should be seeking God with intensity. Everyone should have a hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yeah, come on.
Every person.
Come on.
But the reason why a lot of you use the excuse of introvert is because you're walking around like this.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not into that, all that stuff. Why do I do all that? It's just so much. It's so much. It's not so much, it's you're bound.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You even gotta be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's just doing too much. Nope, you're bound.
Yeah, come on.
But today's the day of deliverance. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day to take the grave clothes off.
Yes.
Come on, the resurrection of the life is here.
Yes.
And he wants you free. Whom the Son sets free
is
free indeed. And the Son is here ready to set the captives free. I don't care what you struggled with. I don't care what sin you came here with. I don't care what grave clothes you have off you. This is the moment the Holy Spirit is beckoning you and calling you and reaching out to you and saying, coming out of the grave is not enough. Some of you have been in church for 10 years, 15 years, and you're still like this. Still haven't gotten the grave clothes off. Because the grave clothes is comfortable.
Yeah.
No. At least I could be warm. At least I don't have to be part of all the fellowship stuff that they do.
Okay.
I don't have to be a member.
That's right.
I said the prayer already.
Yeah.
But you have to read the text. Because it says something really interesting.
Yes.
Jesus never took off the grave clothes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He told them to take off the grave clothes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Jesus did his part already. He resurrected you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now your job is to take off the grave clothes.
Come on.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. That's
That's good.
Jesus did his part. He resurrected you. And he's like, now pick up your bed and walk.
Come on.
That's right. That's it.
You know what picking up your bed for a person who was laying there for 30 years looks like? It looks like a lot of trash around. It looks like a lot of mess. Yeah. It looks like I gotta clean up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what take up your bed and walk looks like. It looks like, oh, there's some really messy stuff. Yeah. And you can't do it with your own strength. The Holy Spirit's gonna give you the strength. But you gotta pick up that mat, pick up all that mess, pick up all that stuff, and clean up after 30 years of mess.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
This is the moment the Holy Spirit's saying, take off the grave clothes. Come on, I need you to help me.
Yes, I need you to help me.
Come on. Yep. Come on. Take off.
Work, Parsa.
Come on, take it off. Yep. Take off the grave clothes.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Take heed, Parsa.
Take off the grave clothes.
Yes.
Yep. Take off the grave clothes.
Yes.
This is the moment. Come on, I need someone to shout. Yeah, take that grave clothes off. I need someone to shout. If this is your day of freedom, if this is your day of deliverance, if you know that after today I'm taking off the grave clothes, I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to open up your mouth and I want you to give God a shout of victory in this place. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! You know what the Lord told me? He said, freedom is coming out of the grave, but deliverance is getting the grave clothes off of you. And some of you have experienced freedom because Jesus set you free, but you have not experienced deliverance. And today's the day of your deliverance. Today's the day to get the grave clothes off. Sit down, because I got one more thing I want to show you, and then we're going to pray. And it's in John chapter 12, verse 9 to 11, because the Holy Spirit said the grave, you coming out of your grave and you getting the grave clothes off wasn't just for you. You got to see this, because it amazed me when I read it in the context. John chapter 12, verse 9 to 11, look what it says. Now a great many of Jews knew that he was there, talking about Jesus. The Jews knew that Jesus was there, so what did they do? They came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they may also see
Lazarus.
Hold on. They didn't just come for Jesus. They came because they heard Lazarus was there. And it would just say, whom he had raised from the dead. Look what it says. Keep going. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Can I tell you, you're on the devil's hit list when you come out of the grave and take the grave clothes off. Three people said amen. Can I tell you, you become public enemy number one to demons and principalities and powers when you take the grave clothes off. Because on the account of him, why did they want to kill him? Why does the devil want to kill you? Because you coming out of your grave clothes and coming out of your grave, here's the result. Because on the account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. You coming out of your grave clothes is not just some religious act. It's the greatest sign to the unbeliever that Jesus is Lord. It's the greatest sign to those who don't know him. Something's different about you. They're gonna start looking at you. You don't talk like you used to. You don't act like you used to. You don't move like you used to. You don't have an attitude like you used to have. What happened? Grave clothes off me. Came out of the grave. You see a man coming out of the grave, he don't look the same. He doesn't talk the same. He doesn't act the same. He's no longer the same. On the account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. You getting your grave clothes off, I know it benefits you, but it's the biggest witnessing tool ever. And many are going to come to Jesus because your grave clothes are off. You know the quickest way for your family to get saved when you take the grave clothes off? Man, I just want my family to be saved. Come out the grave, take the grave clothes off, and guess what? You'll begin to draw them to Jesus. All right, let's go. Father, we thank you. Stand to your feet. How people were blessed by that word. How many people today is their day where like, I don't want the grave clothes anymore? Yeah. I'm ready for freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set me free. I got to come out of the grave. And I got to get the grave clothes off of me. I don't want to be hopping around life, living life like this. Yeah, you're out of the grave. That's cool. But you're living life contained, restricted. Today's your day of freedom. So this is going to be an easy altar call. Because the altar call is for those, you're out of the grave. First, I want to give an invitation to come out of the grave. Because there's some of you, you still haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord. Which means you're still in the grave. But once you say yes to God, you come out of the grave. So in one day, everything can happen. I know a lot of times in church, we're waiting months later to get the grave clothes off, years later to get the grave clothes off. In one moment, you can come out of the grave and you can get the grave clothes off. Talk about glory on your story. So I'm going to give this invitation because there's some of you, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord. You are still in the grave.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.